Your Science Magazine of the Air presents Lights On. Today we bring you the story of one of the most famous treasure hunts in history. The story of a search that took men more than 10,000 years. The hunt for the golden glitter of artificial light. For the key to conquer darkness. The key that many of us today turn with a gesture as simple as this. Yes, the electric light. So today, the miraculous has become the commonplace. And certainly no one thinks very much of what yesterday was the marvel of the ages. Certainly not in an average family like those Johnsons on a cozy winter evening. Dad reading the evening paper, Johnny listening to the radio and engaged in one of the most important projects of his young life.
How are you coming, Johnny?
Oh, I'm not even started, Dad. I just don't know what to choose for a topic. Maybe I ought to do something about battles or Washington.
What's this for, son?
A speech in assembly. They picked me to represent the class, and, well, I've got to come up with a good topic.
I see. That's quite a responsibility.
I'll say it is. I've got to be ready tomorrow, and they'll pick the best one of all of us in assembly. So if I win, our class gets the prize.
We'll get your topic. Now, why not take a look at the encyclopedia to start with?
Sure. Thanks, Dad. I'll get busy right away. Say, the lights are out.
Yeah.
Of all times. Dad, I won't be able to look up a thing.
Now, take it easy, Johnny. Might be just the fuse, huh?
Those things.
And, son, you know it's lucky they do go out.
Yeah.
That makes electricity safe. When there's too much current flowing through a wire, the fuse blows out so there won't be a fire. I'll fix it. I'll be right back.
Need any help, Dad?
No. I'll feel my way in the dark. Ow! Not one of our fuses, Johnny. Must be a power failure someplace. Well, we'll just have to wait a little while.
Well, that's all right. Here. I've got the matches someplace.
Oh, yeah. Here they are. And a candle and my cigarette lighter.
A lot of good they'll do. They're pretty poor substitutes for the electric light. I can't work with that.
Well, you know, Johnny, these three things represent pretty nearly every stage of lighting men had for 6,000 years. Now, look at this match. From earliest cavemen times, men used wood fires and torches for their lighting.
Yeah, but they didn't have a whole class depending on them.
Oh, well, maybe we can think of something. Meantime, I'm going to light this candle with my cigarette lighter. Oh, it worked.
Look, Dad, that little candle's not going to do any good. I can't read by that.
Well, Johnny, for about 4,000 years, that combination was all the light men had.
A cigarette lighter?
Oh, well, no, but something that worked like it. The first oil lamp. They've both got an open, smoking flame with fuel reached by a wick. Just think of it, Johnny. From 6,000 years ago until the time the 19th century came in, oil lamps and candles were all men had for light after dark.
Well, that's not doing me any good. I certainly can't make a speech about that.
Oh? Well, I don't know, Johnny. I think it's pretty good.
Oh, Dad, what am I going to do? The whole class
is... Look, son, look. We won't get anywhere till the lights go back on. Now, there's no sense sitting around and stewing. I'll tell you. Let's make a cup of cocoa in the kitchen and relax. You know, you have to learn to do that, Johnny.
The gas burners light up the kitchen almost as well as that dinky little candle.
Yes. It sure would do old William Murdoch's heart good to hear you say that.
Well, who's he?
Well, he's the man who first discovered gas for illumination. Around about 1794? Yeah, about then. He was working in his cottage in England.
Hey, laddie, have you got the thimble?
Yes, sir, right here. What do you want the thimble for?
Like to know what I want the thimble for?
Why, yes, sir, I would. What's that inside the kettle on the fire?
It's filled with coal I've already burned.
Inside the kettle? Is it a trick?
It's an experiment. The smoke that came off is in that metal case with the tube attached.
Well, what do you want the thimble for?
Wait till I make two tiny holes in it. You'll see. I'm attaching the thimble. I'm letting the gas escape. Now I'll light it.
Why, the air coming out of the thimble is burning.
The air's on fire.
No, no, it's the gas that's burning. The gas I got from the coal.
Gas? I don't understand,
that's
Mr. Murdoch.
That's all right. You will, boy. Someday everyone will.
And that was the first trial ever made by the discoverer of the use of coal gas. It took 20 years before the people of England could get used to the idea. And then...
Mr. Murdoch, we've decided that the House of Commons is going to be lighted with gas.
Good. Good. It's about time, if you ask me.
But the pipes must be placed a certain safe distance from the building, else it will catch fire. And now I...
Oh, but, sir, the gas pipes aren't hot.
They flame, don't they? How can flame not be hot?
But, sir, they don't carry burning gas. Only that gas coming out of the pipe is lighted.
Be that as it may, Mr. Murdoch, our builders will take every precaution against fire, nonetheless. Gentlemen, now that the House of Commons has been fitted with gas, there is one precaution we must warn you to take. Be careful of the pipe. Don't touch them when lighted with your bare hands.
But, gentlemen, members of Parliament, the pipes aren't hot. We'll light this picture. Now, see? The pipes themselves aren't hot. They were placed, as you wished, away from the building, but I assure you they're cold. See? I put my bare hands on them. You see, they are cold. Come on, test it for yourselves.
And that ushered in the gaslight era all over the world.
What was it like, huh? Gee, there were no movies then, were there?
No. No, but there were theaters. My father used to tell me a story about the gas footlights. One time when he was at the theater, the play was at a pretty exciting point.
You say you're a lowly shop girl, poor but honest, that you didn't steal that dress. You think a judge will believe that? It's your word against mine. There's only one thing that can save you. Marry me and I'll destroy the evidence.
Say, do you smell gas?
Yes, I noticed it before. It's been getting worse.
A great deal worse.
We'll be asphyxiated.
You're right. Let's get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's the trouble?
That gas escaping. You've filled the theater.
We'll be asphyxiated.
Keep your seats, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to be alarmed about. No, no, no. Everything is under control. Usher, open up the windows and doors. You there in the wings, bring a taper. Some of the footlights blow out. The flame must go on. Now, Miss Jones, your cue is...
Never, never! I shall never marry you!
That's just one example of what the gaslight era was like, John. Filled with hazards and inconveniences you can hardly imagine. It was artificial life, but not very good. Dim, diffused, flickering, constant odor. This was the world into which Edison entered with his incandescent electric light.
And then we got the movies, huh?
Well, quite a long time afterwards, son.
Well, how does electric light actually work, Dad?
Well, that's not so easy. Oh, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Let's go into the living room. Maybe I can introduce you to electricity.
Okay.
Now, drag your feet across this rug, back and forth, as if you were walking on a lawn and, well, trying to clean some mud off your shoe.
All right. How's that?
All right. Now, step off the rug and touch me.
Ouch!
Hurt?
No, it just startled me.
Well, electricity that you had picked up by rubbing the rug jumped to me. You've got a little shock. That's called static electricity. Now, if you want to see how electricity runs along a wire and into a lamp and lights it, well, how's your imagination?
Pretty good, I guess.
All right. Then imagine that you're inside an electric light bulb. This one on the lamp here, it's lying horizontal.
Yes, I can see it from the light in the kitchen.
Now, you're imagining, remember? It will be small and the bulb will be enormous once you're inside, like a big glass room with rounded walls. And you stand on the bottom of the globe and look around.
Gee, it's pretty dark in here, but I can see everything. Let's see. There's a big glass rod comes out from the end and is over my head. It has some big wires fixed to it, one on each side. And a kind of curly, smaller wire goes across between them at the end.
Hello.
Oh.
Johnny.
Who's that?
Mr. Electricity. Don't worry. Everything's all right.
But I can't see you.
Oh, I haven't come in yet. I'm in the wire just outside the globe.
Oh.
But you couldn't see me anyway. I'm in the wire. But when they turn the switch on, that lets me into the filament.
The filament? Is that the white curly wire that goes across between the other two?
Yeah, that's it. Looks about 6 feet long to you now, but when you were outside, it would only be about an inch.
And when they turn the switch on, that lets you into the filament.
Right, my boy. And then things happen.
Why?
Because that filament is hard for me to go through. I can go through the wire I'm in now very easily. It's copper. But the filament, that's tungsten.
Well, so what?
Tungsten is very, very hard for me to go through.
I see.
And it's small. It's one-tenth of the diameter of a human hair.
It looks a lot bigger than that.
That's because everything's bigger. So you can be in there.
Oh.
Oh, yes, sir. The filament's very small. Compared to it, this wire's enormous. So going into that tough little wire is very hard for me.
Well, I can see that. Oh, what's that?
The switch. It sounds louder to you because everything's bigger. Now I'm coming in.
Hey, that filament is getting red.
It gets hot when I push in. It's so small and tough. I heat it up going through. I'm slowing this down a lot, Johnny, so you can see it.
Gee, thanks. So now it's white.
You bet. That's because I'm really going through.
And when you're through, you go back and out on the other side.
Yes, my boy. Back and out another wire. But you see, to keep this lamp lighted, I'm all along the wire. I come in and on. And all along the filament. And all along the wire on the other side. And I'm moving all the time.
I see.
It's a bit hard to imagine, but...
Gee, there's a switch again. And the filament's fading from white to red.
Yeah, they turned me off. I'm back in the wire now. The light is off, Johnny.
How did you like that trick?
Oh, swell. I just wish it was real. I'd have a light on and then I could start working on my speech.
Don't worry, Johnny. You'll have your topic before the night is over. I promise.
You sure? Will we have time, Dad?
I'm sure.
You know, when you think about it, an electric light is awfully important. What do you suppose is wrong now?
Oh, it could be a lot of things. You know, the wires in the walls go down to conductors in the streets and then right to the dynamos in the generating plants. It took a man as great as Edison to invent the system.
Well, he didn't discover electricity, did he?
Oh, no, no. Men had worked with electricity for 100 years before him. When he was a boy, the only real use of electrical energy was in sending telegraph messages. The Leyden jar had been invented to store electricity. Ben Franklin had proven that lightning and electricity are the same thing, and an Englishman named Faraday had invented the dynamo to make electric current. The next step someone had to take was to try indoor illumination by electricity.
So Edison just stumbled on the whole thing, huh?
No, no, Johnny. Edison was prepared for that task. His whole life had really trained him for it. You see, from the time Edison was very young, he was possessed by an insatiable desire to prove everything for himself, even when he was younger than you. One day, his mother called.
Thomas Alva Edison, come here.
Yes? Yes?
I was just talking to Mrs. Oates. She said Michael came home crying, and now he's sick. What did you do?
I just tried another experiment. I just gave him, well, a few... 10 sidelets powders.
Thomas Alva Edison, what am I going to do with you? Whatever possessed you?
Well, Mother, sidelets powders make gas, don't they?
Well, of course.
Well, I just thought if I gave him enough sidelets powders, he'd blow up like a balloon and he'd be able to fly.
It's sidelets.
Did he get spanked, Dad?
Probably.
But it didn't stop him?
No. Something in his nature just made him want to learn and try things for himself. When he was young, Edison became a newsboy and candy butcher on a train running between Port Huron and Detroit. He was making some chemical experiments, and the baggage man let him rig up a little laboratory in the baggage car. And one day, while the train was running between stations...
Now, this experiment calls for 2 CCs. Oh, my gosh, the phosphorus dropped. The car's on fire.
What's going on here?
Fire.
Well, beat it out. Here's your coat. Beat it out with your coat.
I've been trying to put it out.
Come on, beat it. What? Put the... There.
Oh, God.
Now, shut it. Now, as for you, young man, I've been too patient with you.
Huh?
Young Mr. Edison, out you go.
What?
You ought to have your hide pan. What you need is a good box on the ear.
Oh, my ears.
This is the last stop for you, young man. Out.
Huh?
And here's your laboratory and pit and plant to follow you.
Well, I don't think that conductor should have smashed all his stuff like that. Edison was just experimenting.
Smashing the laboratory wasn't so important, Johnny. That could be rebuilt. But the blows the conductor struck him, that was the beginning of Edison's deafness.
Gee, that's so awful.
Well, in later life, when Edison was successful, he insisted it was an advantage, that it helped him concentrate, cutting out a lot of extra noises, and really set a standard of perfection for the telephone and telegraph he worked on.
That meant the end of Edison's job, though. What did he do?
The first job he got was selling newspapers, and then he became a telegraph operator. And as a telegraph operator, he moved up and down the country, always at a job and working, studying, and experimenting at the same time. He was 19 years old when he took out his first patent, a vote recorder. And this invention taught him a lesson he never forgot. He went down to Washington to demonstrate it to the chairman of the committee.
And so you see, sir, it will save time.
Yes, there isn't any doubt about that. But my boy, your invention's useless.
But I don't understand. I've been a press operator. I've taken miles of congressional proceedings. I know how much time is wasted in calling members' names and adding up their votes.
Wasted?
Yes. Don't you see, each member of Congress with my machine can register his name under yes or no in an instant by flicking a switch on his desk.
But that's what I'm telling you. That's not what we want. If there's any invention on earth we don't want, this is it.
But why, sir?
Because when a congressman votes, he wants to be heard and maybe talk a little, too.
Oh. I never thought of that.
Look, my boy, you're young. Go back and study what men need. Think of things to make man's life easier and happier. Things that are really needed.
Yes, sir.
Well, son, good luck.
Sir, I want to tell you, I'm just beginning my inventions. And so I'm making a promise right now. I'll never, never work on anything from now on that won't be a necessity.
He kept his promise, Johnny. That desire to work only for the benefit of mankind was another important decision on the road to the electric light.
But, Dad, when did he get around to it?
Oh, not for many years. Not until he had made or helped with many inventions, like the first typewriter, quadruplex telegraphy, the carbon button transmitter for the first practical telephone, the phonograph.
That's some list.
Yeah. And then, in 1878, he started working on the electric light.
Hooray. But say, Dad, weren't there any other men working on the electric light? Was it just his idea?
Oh, no. Men had been working on it for years and had invented the arc light, a glaring, sputtering light that clearly wouldn't do. And other inventors were trying to make an electric lamp or globe. In fact, the historic words that started Edison's experiments were spoken by him in the laboratory of another inventor.
Wallace, I don't think you're working in the right direction. I believe I can beat you making the electric light.
So back to his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey, where he had a staff of technicians and mechanics, Edison went to do what he had promised.
He had an idea how to do it.
Of course he did. He was convinced that the heavy wires and expensive metals that other inventors had experimented with wouldn't do. He knew that a good electric light had to be cheap and simple. And he had already planned in a general way to do what you saw done when you made that imaginary trip of yours a few minutes ago.
You mean he had sent electricity along a wire and let it into a globe and made it go through a filament that had heated up.
Yes, and by heating it, make it glow and give light. Well, he began experimenting with filaments that he thought might do this, experimenting with them without a globe at first in the open air. One day, testing a metal filament with one of his assistants.
All right, turn on the current, John.
Yes, Mr. Edison.
Say, she's burning all right.
Yes, that's a nice light. There she goes.
Yes, it lit up and then, poof. Why, John?
Well, Mr. Edison, the current's high and burns out the metal.
Exactly. Now, if we could make the metal glow without burning, what makes the metal burn, John? What makes anything burn?
Well, the current, of course, and the air that's necessary for combustion.
Air. I think we've hit on something. Nothing burns without air.
No, but without air, you wouldn't get the light.
I wonder. Suppose we heated the filament in a vacuum.
In a vacuum?
Yes. Wouldn't the filament still get white hot and perhaps not burn?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Edison.
What?
I said I don't know, Mr. Edison.
I don't know either. But I'd like to find out. Seal the filament in a glass bowl. Then we'll pump out the air and see. And that was the way to do it.
Hey, not so fast, son. It was a step on the way, an important step. The filaments did last longer in a vacuum, but not long enough. Edison began looking for a better filament than any he'd had. Meanwhile, the scientists and newspapers knew what he was trying to do, and they were convinced he was headed for failure.
A certain inventor is trying to make a practical incandescent electric light, but experiments have proved this to be an impossibility. Estimates show that the cost of copper wire required would alone be prohibitive. $200 million for a relatively small area.
Neither Mr. Edison or anyone else can override the principles which underlie science. When he says that a little wire will bring light and also power and heat, he is promising more than can possibly be performed.
But he wasn't, Dad, was he? What did he say to people like that?
He didn't say anything. He knew that the principle he was working on would make the job possible and make light cheap. But he wanted to prove that he could apply it before talking. However, he was having his trouble.
Well, Mr. Edison, we've made a lot of experiments trying to find the right material for a filament. Platinum, barium, rhodium, titanium, almost every rare metal on the list.
I know, Yale. Well, suppose we try this.
A little black wire or rod. Carbon again?
Yes, compressed lampblack. I rolled it into a filament. After all, carbon has a melting point far above any known metal. They've used it in arc lamps. We've never tried it in a vacuum. Let's see what it does.
There she goes, Mr. Edison. Well, at least we've got something in quality. Just look at that light.
Beautiful, yeah. Most brilliant we've had.
Why, it gives 3 or 4 times the candle power of anything we've tried. Maybe this is what we've been looking for.
If it lasts, it may be.
She's gone.
Yes, not a failure, Yale. But we've learned that carbon gives a more brilliant light than anything else. And, of course, it's cheap and plentiful.
But it didn't last.
Compressed lamp black, didn't it? But how about a carbon filament? It's tougher, has a firmer base. How about carbonizing another material? A fiber, a thread.
It might work.
Try out a number of materials. Hemp fibers, paper, wood. Heat them until they're thoroughly carbonized. We may have a long way to go still, but I think some carbonized material is the answer.
And was it, Dad?
There was still a lot of experimenting ahead, son. And meanwhile, the editors were growing bolder in predicting failure.
It is now known that Mr. Edison has failed in a long series of experiments. Well-informed scientists are convinced that he is on a road that will lead nowhere. It is now over a year since Mr. Edison promised the world an electric lamp. Where is it? For that matter, where is Mr. Edison? Can it be that he has consigned himself to obscurity along with a lamp that will never be born?
She's still steady, Mr. Edison.
It's an hour now, I think. A minute over.
And just a common piece of cotton sewing thread. There's not a sign of anything wrong with it.
Yale, tell Mrs. Edison that I may be here all evening. This light may die any moment. It's going to have to burn a long time to be a practical light. And when it dies, I want to be here for an immediate autopsy.
That's 10 hours, Mr. Edison. She hasn't died yet.
Yale, I'm going to get a few minutes' sleep. Wake me up if there are any signs of it going.
Thirty hours, Mr. Edison. Seems like it's going to burn forever.
Huh. Well, there it goes. It lasted 45 hours, Yale.
Well, I'd begun to think it would last 100.
It will have to if it's to be a practical light. But now that it burned 45 hours, I know I can burn it 100. Perhaps even 1,000. The job is licked. We'll see these lamps shining all the way from Ellis Island to San Francisco. They're like prairie towns and temples. We'll see them on ferry boats and in drugstores, ocean liners, and in railroad cars. They'll be as natural as the stars and as casual as a handshake. Yale, the world will be lit by electricity.
That's a story.
Yes, son, and a terrific achievement. The coming of the electric light changed people's lives in many ways. It really made night into a second day. It made possible better work in factories, safer and more marvelous effects on the stage and in photography. It made the modern motion picture a possibility. It brought better street lighting, the electric torch, finer scientific work, and by opening up further knowledge of electricity, it helped pave the way for the modern electrical machinery and the science of electronics. Well, Johnny, how about it? Do you think you've got a good topic for your talk?
Oh, I sure do, Dad.
Now, remember, it was one man's curiosity, one man's scientific imagination and patience with the drive to see it through that made all this life of ours today possible.
Oh, I can see that all right. If I can just talk it, it'll be swell. Lights! Dad! All the lights are on again, and so is the radio.
That's a good sign, Johnny. I think it's a sign that you'll do a good job tomorrow when you tell the big story about the first time there were lights on.
You have been listening to Lights On, taken from the series entitled March of Science. Listen again next week when the Armed Forces Radio Service again brings you your science magazine of the air. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.